Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mraz. You know maybe the best thing to come out of 2020? Me doing more work putting together the best of the DA show. Keep it locked here from the best from today.
Did Genie Bus disrespect the logo? It is where we begin your cold open.
I saw the other day who Genie Bus is, made a statement that the five most important Lakers.
Yes.
One of the most offensive things I've ever heard in my life. Really offensive.
I was going to ask you about it. Okay, so the five she named were Kareem, Magic, Kobe, LeBron, and Phil Jackson.
Right. Well, let's put it this way. I was there a lot of times and had a lot of success and would be curious to know why, if they would have had that success if I hadn't been there. And we had a little small staff, and I don't ever take credit for stuff. I don't. But when I was around, maybe I was just a good luck charm, okay? But I do know that when this thing fell apart, there was a lot of years that they weren't very good.
Well, Jerry, let me be frank. I know you want to cut in, but just, yeah. I think in listening to that, what she said, I think she was caught off guard, you know, just in her defense a little bit, because she left off Magic, too. And then they said, yeah, well, you didn't say Magic. Oh, yeah, well, Magic should be no more. So I believe she was just a little harried there. So,
yeah, we will. For a second.
What's that?
I don't believe it for a second.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Whoa! That is Jerry West with Peter Vesey, the longtime NBA writer on the Legends Studio podcast. Jerry West just said, it's one of the most offensive things I've ever heard. One of the most offensive things I've ever heard is Genie Bus leaving off Jerry West from her top five Lakers ever. Now, to be fair to Genie Bus, this is a difficult list to make because she didn't even include Elgin Baylor, Wilt Chamberlain, Shaq. So there's great players, all-time great players, that didn't make the list as well as Jerry West. But here's the thing. West is right. He belongs on this list. He belongs on the list of the most important Lakers ever because Jerry West not only was a standout Hall of Fame, legendary player for the Lakers that helped bring them their first championship in Los Angeles and was one of the league's first huge superstars, but also he was a crucial, vital executive for the Lakers on their second dynasty in the 2000s. I mean, Jerry West was the brains that drafted / traded for the rights to Kobe Bryant on draft night. Jerry West not only was a player, but he's probably the most important executive in Lakers franchise history as well, and the guy that brought in Phil Jackson. So Jerry West has absolutely every right to be bothered by this, annoyed by this, and say it's an offensive list without him on it. Yes. And here's the thing about Jeannie Buss's list. You can't argue Kareem. You can't argue Magic. You can't argue Kobe. LeBron's not on that list. LeBron is not one of the five most important Lakers players ever. And you guys know, I've got nothing but respect for LeBron James. I think LeBron is shortchanged many times over with the type of description and discussion we have around LeBron. I think he's one of the greatest players ever, probably one of the two greatest players ever, and that his resume is unassailable. But he's not one of the five most important Lakers ever. He's been there for 3 years, for crying out loud. 3 freaking years. Yes, he won a championship. Yes, he has brought a title back to Los Angeles for the first time in a decade plus. But he is not one of the five most important Lakers. Not if you have to leave off Jerry West. Not if you have to leave off Jerry West, Wilt Chamberlain, Shaq, Elgin Baylor. No. You can't put LeBron ahead of any of those guys. You can't. And with all due respect, you probably can't put LeBron on a list that doesn't have Anthony Davis on it right now. But those two guys kind of part and parcel are the most important pieces 50-50 on the current Lakers run. So the list by Jeannie, to be fair, as Peter Vesey brought up, not an easy list to do on the fly. But for crying out loud, Jerry West has got to be on that list, and LeBron can't be on that list. That's the fact. I mean, Jerry West is the freaking logo of the league. He's the league's logo. If he's not on the top five list of the team, the franchise he played for, then that list is bunk. Jeannie Buss's dad, Jerry, and Jerry West had some friction. And Jerry West, because of said friction, moved on in his career and went to Memphis and then went to the Clippers, actually called the Clippers the greatest organization he's ever worked for. So there is some resentment on both sides of that aisle. And remember, Jeannie Buss had dated Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson and Jerry West had a falling out by the end. So there's some friction there. This is personal with Jeannie, and that's not indicative of where Jerry West is all time. The man is a top five Laker of all time. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's it. That's not even a discussion. Poor Jerry West, 82 years old. He's got to hear this. Calling it one of the most offensive things he's ever heard. And then the shot across the bow. I guess I was just a good luck charm. We had a lot of success when I was there. I guess I was just a good luck charm. Ouch.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And the best of the show every single day is available in podcast form. Bite-sized, one-hour-plus versions of the show. You'll get the very best of each and every day by going to our podcast. Search The DA Show on your favorite podcast platform and find us there. Subscribe, rate, and review. That helps other people find the show. We begin with Matt Rhule, who usually is part of the Coaches Show weekly here on CBS Sports Radio with the Zach Gelb Show at night. Zach and Matt go back a ways. They've got a really good relationship, so it feels like Zach always has Matt Rhule on every time Matt says anything which is national and noteworthy. But not this time, because Matt Rhule was, I think, just speaking via press conference, and he was asked about Teddy Bridgewater. And for Teddy the other day, he made news because he called out Joe Brady, the young offensive coordinator, saying that Joe Brady never practiced red zone and never practiced two-minute drill with him last year or with the entire offense, and that the only thing they did was some walkthroughs, but they never actually practiced the two-minute drills and the red zone offense, which is really startling because the NFL comes down to red zone conversion. There is so little that differentiates NFL teams. There is about 25 teams in the middle of the league that are all separated by just a couple of things. Turnovers, dumb penalties, injuries, and red zone conversion. Either you settle for three or you go and get seven. That's basically the difference between being the best of those 20 teams and the worst of those 20 teams. So to not practice red zone would seem, not watch the red zone channel, practice your red zone offense would seem to be a bizarre proposition. Here was Rhule responding to Bridgewater's comments.
I'm never really going to say anything bad or talk badly about any of our players or contradict them. And I think for me, that extends to former players. So I'm on record as stating how I feel about Teddy. I expect him to do great things. I will always cheer for him. I'm sorry that maybe he doesn't maybe feel the same way about some things. But for me, I'm going to be the same guy. I'm going to continue to always support the guys who played for me. But I feel really good about what we do. I want to make sure I say that I feel really good about the way we practice and our process. I'm disappointed to hear that he didn't feel the same way.
Nailed it. That's exactly textbook how you answer that question. You don't dismiss the player. You don't fire back. You don't say something like, that's why Teddy couldn't cut it here. That's why he's somewhere else. We feel better about Sam Darnold. You don't say any of that. Don't take a shot back. Don't get defensive. Don't get aggressive. Don't do any of that. When you get defensive and have to start defending yourself, when you have to start throwing dirt at the other guy, then it makes you seem insecure. Matt Rhule hasn't won yet in the NFL, so there could be some questions around him. He's not taking the bait. Smart, smart, smart. This should be on a wall for every other NFL coach to hear and watch and see. If a former player snipes at you through the media, do not take the bait. Don't snipe back. Don't question his motives. Don't question his career. Just say, we're happy with the way we do things around here. I respect all the players that have come through here, former players as well. I'm sorry that he feels that way. That is the way you throw a bucket of cold water on all of this, and you do not disrespect the player. That way, you keep in good standing with all of your current and former players. Great job by Matt Rhule. Here is Ravens corner Marlon Humphrey, who joined the Adam Lefkoe podcast, who discussed Big Ben actually calling out his routes, his pass routes, for his receivers last year.
The crazy thing about this year, when we played with no fans, when we played the Steelers, we was out on the field, and of course there's no fans, so it's kind of quiet. I'm like on the field, and like I heard Big Ben say something to the wide receivers, and I'm like listening, and I'm like, did he just tell him to play? I'm like, did he just tell him the route he's about to run?
Wow.
And he does it again, like the next play. And I'm just like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I was like, I don't know if they were in hurry up and that's what they had always done it or what. But he was just verbally telling them. And I was like, crap, I think I should be able to cover this route. And like that happened a few times in the game. He didn't throw it to me when he told him. But I couldn't believe it that like that's what happened.
What's interesting is that if Marlon Humphrey was so excited about Ben Roethlisberger calling out the plays publicly, why couldn't they beat him? The Steelers won both games last year against the Ravens. Took them both. 28-24, 19-14. Big Ben. Game number one. 21-32, 182 yards, two touchdowns, no INTs. Game number two. 36 of 51, 260, one touchdown, one interception. I mean, can't you beat Big Ben at 39 years old if you actually know the routes that are coming? Come on, Marlon Humphrey. If you're going to admit this, you better have beaten him at least once out of the two times last year. And if Big Ben is actually calling out hot reads or routes and there's no fans in attendance so you could hear everything, why the hell were the Steelers 13-0 or whatever last season? How come nobody could beat them? I mean, the guy had a game where he threw for 333 yards and four touchdowns, no INTs against the Bengals. A week after, he threw 306, three touchdowns, no INTs against the Cowboys. back-to-back weeks, the guy had 650 yards, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions, and people knew what pass routes were coming? Well, damn, I guess Roethlisberger still got it, huh? I guess he's not as toast as we would like to believe. I mean, before November last year, he was the last team undefeated standing, was thrown for about 250 and 2 touchdowns and not a lot of INTs in just about every game. And people knew? Opponents knew what they were running? Well, what does that say about the opponents, including Marlon Humphrey? And finally, here's T.O. on the Half-Forgotten History podcast, who believes he could still play in the NFL. Here's T.O.
I know that there are guys out there like, oh, well, he's too old. He can't do this. He can't do that. That's what's wrong with America, because everybody tries to put themselves in somebody else's shoes to say they can't do this and they can't do that because maybe they can't do it. I'm obviously one of those guys. I feel like if you see me play, if you see me around, how I work out, how I train, how I eat, I'm one to always say that I'm one of those athletes that can defy the odds. There's no doubt, like I said, I could play the game. Could I go in right now and play 60, 75 snaps off the rip? Absolutely not. I would obviously have to get myself in shape. But if you think about third down situations and you think about red zone, that's 20 yards, 20, 25 yards at the most. You can't say that I wouldn't be able to contribute in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
All right, so there's a lot of things here roped into T.O.'s claim. Can he help in some way, shape, or fashion? Okay, maybe I would listen to that argument. If he says, I'm just going to play red zone plays, so all I got to do is run a couple of 7-yard routes or 10-yard routes, okay. And if I get myself into shape and I can do limited snaps, okay, fine. I mean, T.O.'s always been in great shape. I'm sure it wouldn't take much. He's not a fatso. He's not a slob. He's not lazy. He keeps himself in wonderful shape. So if you're asking me, could a guy who has been relentless in his work ethic in terms of keeping his body in shape play 10 plays a game and run a total of 10 yards per play, catch one or two passes? All right, we can have that conversation. But this is where T.O. loses me. This is the problem in America. Is that people don't put themselves in each other's shoes. All right, America's got a lot of issues. One of them is certainly not seeing eye to eye on things. One thing is certainly everybody being an expert on everything. Okay, but if T.O. was still valuable to a team, if he still had football in him, why has he been out of football for more than a decade and by the end of his career bounced around from team to team to team because nobody found him valuable enough to keep him around? The Cowboys, the Bills, the Bengals. I mean, remember, T.O. was a Bengal at the end. A Bengal. And this was 2010. So you're going to sit here and argue that 11 years ago, even the Bengals didn't want you back. And that 11 years later, you have value to an NFL team? That's the problem in America? Well, what are we supposed to go on here? 11 years ago, 32 teams said, we're good. We're passing on T.O. Obviously, because he was willing to keep playing at the end for a paycheck. He played for 3 different teams in his final 3 different years and played for the freaking Bills and Bengals by the end. So obviously he was willing to keep playing. So we're supposed to just believe out of thin air that a guy that was willing to keep playing for a paycheck, who was bypassed by 32 teams 11 years ago, would just still have value in the league and we're not seeing it? I mean, that's so silly. It's so dumb. It's like if I just bounced around sports radio, just working for a paycheck for 5 years, and at the end, nobody would give me a job, and then 10 years later, coming up and saying, see, that's the problem with America. Nobody believes that I could still do it. Well, why wouldn't I be still doing it? Because I can't get a job. And that is your sound check. Standing by with our headlines in the morning is a kind sir Andrew Bogut, should AB, knowing the pain that young Sam Rubinoff dealt with yesterday, not being able to get Nate Ebner on the show late in that show, worrying, scurrying, do you believe Mraz's interpretation of the event that Sam just, quote, missed an email?
I mean, I hope that's not the case for our Sam. I would not want to have that kind of thing working against him on his resume. It sounds like maybe the sabotage came from the outside, though. Were they trying to mess with young Sam with this string of emails? I don't know, D. It's hard to say and point fingers not having access to anybody's inbox here, but this does seem like something we could have figured out earlier than you throwing to Nate Ebner when he wasn't there at 9:20 yesterday morning.
Well, this is the concern, is that Mraz planted seeds the day before by saying, in his mind, the Patriots were in trouble because Belichick was purposefully trying to get them to tank after he leaves by grooming Matt Patricia, which the next day we saw come to fruition. Mraz had booked a guest. This would be the Patricia thing. He leaves. Then Sam falls on his face to make Mraz look better. He had laid out the blueprint of how this would work just the day before on the show.
You threw to Nate Ebner yesterday and he wasn't there? Because if that happened, that's way out of line and not jiving with what the email said.
No, we never actually tossed to Nate Ebner, but we were waiting because Sam had said he's either going to come on at 9 or 9:20. That's what we're waiting on, and we just kept promoting, like, maybe this is the segment Nate's going to come on. Maybe this is the segment Nate's going to come on.
Yeah, okay. No problem. I saw Sam's email asking them about 9 or 9:20. They did not respond with they would be on at 9 or 9:20.
It just seems curious, Mraz, that you laid out this whole thing about how Belichick was going to groom Patricia just so that the Patriots tanked the next year. And then the same exact thing happened with you and Sam the next day.
Well, clearly, if that was my intention, it wouldn't work because I'm still getting blamed a day later when that has nothing to do with me.
Well, and people are going to blame Belichick if Matt Patricia is a bum.
Right, but the difference in my theory was Belichick was leaving the Patriots permanently. My seat's cushy. I don't feel like leaving here permanently, so I'm not exactly grooming Sam to take over for me.
Might not be so cushy if Nate Ebner doesn't call in today.
Well, look, therein lies the next storyline. Because if Nate Ebner now bails today after I've proclaimed this, then the heat's in the kitchen big time.
Mraz, did you see this story that Andrew W.K. is engaged to Kat Dennings? This is trending this morning on Twitter. I had no idea about this until I saw this trending on Twitter this morning.
I don't want to get caught. Who are both of those people?
Oh, well, you're a fan of Two Broke Girls, right?
Yeah, I like Two Broke Girls. So who is he in Two Broke Girls?
She. Kat Dennings is the brunette.
Oh, I like Kat Dennings. Yeah, she's a good actress. Yeah.
And Andrew W.K. is a rock star who I'm sure has a song that you used to rock out to when you were in high school, or maybe college.
In a band, or is he himself, Andrew W.K.?
He's himself, Andrew W.K.
Interesting. Boy, maybe I'm behind on stuff from 15 years ago is what you're telling me?
And this is scary because I'm the guy that usually you've got to educate in pop culture about what's happening modern-wise. I'm totally out to lunch on this, but I know both of them, Andrew W.K. and Kat Dennings.
Okay, interesting. Now I'm totally embarrassed because I didn't know this was coming and I have no idea who either of them are.
Well, let's play this song because I'm sure that you know this song. I'm sure that you used to rock out to this in West Babylon in high school. Pete, cue the music. You know this song, right?
Yes, I thought this was Good Charlotte, but you're telling me it's Andrew W.K.
yeah, sing along.
Let's get this party started. I guess I don't know the lyrics as well, but I know this song.
You want a party, and I want a party, and they want a party, that's what we do.
So was he a one-hit wonder? Was this it for him?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I remember this on TRL.
You like to party, and I like to party, and they like to party. It's what we do.
I think this was a Madden theme song one of
Yes. This was on the Madden soundtrack one year.
Okay. All right. Now we're getting somewhere.
This is on the team select menu.
Okay. All right. And somehow this song got him enough money to buy an engagement ring.
Like what we do, and we like what we do.
Let's get this party started. Let's get the party started. Well, it's party hard, party on. Always party
like what we do. So you want a party, and I want a party, and they want a party. It's what we do.
All right. So cut from the Green Day Good Charlotte cloth is Andrew WK from the year 2007.
And Kat Dennings, they are engaged this morning. When we come back here on the DA
Wait,
show.
That was it? That's all you had? I thought there was a story on it. It's just that two people barely know got engaged? Well, I thought this was leading to something. That was, you just embarrassed me just to tell me they got engaged? We led with that 6 minutes ago.
I was convinced, and I told Pete this, that you would know the words of the song. I just felt like this was totally in your wheelhouse, that skater boy bowl cut back in high school that you would have rocked out to Andrew WK. You're a huge sitcom. You're a huge sitcom fan, so you would love Kat Dennings. So I just assumed this was a big deal to you, and you would have sang along to Andrew WK and been totally into the song.
Skater boy bowl cut? Yay! I was fat. I had no balance. You think I was getting on skateboards or wearing Converses?
Okay, I didn't say you actually skated, but you had the JNCO jeans, and I've seen the pictures of your bowl cut. That was your look in high school. I assumed that you would be just rocking out to Avril Lavigne and Andrew WK in 2006.
Well, I do like Avril Lavigne, but I was more of a, you know, I'm Jay-Z, I'm DMX. Like, that was me in high school, not Andrew WK. And Kat Dennings, you're right. I did like Two Broke Girls. I didn't know her name was Kat Dennings. But I thought this story was going somewhere. I thought that maybe there was some big reveal about how they got engaged. Not just that they got engaged. Give me beef stroganoff.
Get me stroganoff. When was the last time you wore a tie? During pandemic? Boy, it's got to be years ago.
I couldn't tell you. As a matter of fact, I have a wedding coming up in June. I said, Danielle, I might as well just trash my old suit. No way it fits. We got to go back to the well here. I got to hit up somewhere and get it fit. It's a bad scene.
And it's at that point when Danielle turns to you, has tears well up in her eyes, and utters, I can't believe how hideous you've become.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
So this Target Demo Friday meme is Mraz in a suit and a tie in the workplace behind young Sam Rubinoff. Sam is at the computer with a picture of Nate Ebner on the desktop. And he is ready to sabotage him from behind with what appears to be a rubber band. Yesterday, young Sam filled in for Mraz as Mraz was off for the day. Mraz had booked Nate Ebner on the show. Nate never came through. Poor Sam was distraught, to say the least. Poor guy. And we're wondering if it was sabotage from Mraz, because Nate is now booked again today. Suddenly, look who's riding into the white horse. Mraz to save the day. Oh, Nate's coming on today. I can book him. The only thing this thing needs, Cap, is a bowl of beef stroganoff on the desktop. On the desk or on the floor in front of Mraz's suit pants, which, again, you'll never wear suit pants for the rest of your life. From here on out, if you have to wear anything formal, a jacket, a tie, it's just going to be some type of those elastic sweat pant type thing made to look like dress pants.
No, I'm strictly, from this point forward, I'm an F&W suit wearer, funerals and weddings. After that, that's it.
F&W, huh?
If I ever have to go on a job interview and need to wear a suit, that's it. I collect unemployment.
So do you
Let's
think that there's any...
Let's get the party started.
Knowledge
party hard, party hard.
You think there's any validity to Teddy Bruschi worried about load management this upcoming season now that we got 17 games?
No, because as you pointed out, we've already seen it, right? If a team has something locked up, they choose to either rest or not to rest. Leading up to it, that's the beauty of the NFL and why it's different than the NBA. It's now 17 games, not 16 games. All those games are still going to matter, and they're probably going to matter more for a lot of non-teams pulling away from divisions because the extra wild card will probably keep more teams invested and more teams involved. So I actually think we could see load management less than we've already seen it in the NFL based on more teams being alive and an extra game to strive for.
Not a bad point. This has happened for a while. You know, and they doctor this up with he's nursing an ankle sprain, he's got a shoulder, what have you. But resting guys late in the season in games that you can punt on to make sure he's ready for the playoffs or make sure that he's ready for week 17 or something like that, or resting guys in week 17 to go into the playoffs, boy, this has happened forever. So if it used to be they rest him in week 15 to get to week 16, we'll rest him in week 17 to get to the playoffs. Now it's going to be they rest in week 18 to get to the playoffs, right?
Yeah, that's it. It just moves back a week. But as I said, you know, there's more teams are going to be involved in December now with the extra playoff and that extra week to try to gain ground. So I don't see it. The same thing that happened in week 17 for teams will just happen in week 18 and so on and so forth. This isn't going to be some kind of catastrophic change where in the NBA you can make do because 82 games is way different than 17 now in the NFL.
Right, because in the NBA with 82 games, let's say there's 55 of them that are really important. And boy, there's probably less. Let's say that there's probably 35 of them that are really, really important that you got to make sure that you step in those games. You know, that's less than half the season that are really important. You cannot say that with the NFL. Maybe there's two games that aren't important to the NFL, but in a 17-game schedule or a 16-game schedule, divisions are decided by one game. Playoff seedings decided by one game. Who gets the one seed is decided by one game. Who gets fired is decided by one game. You can't really afford ever to take anything very lightly in the NFL.
And what does Bruschi think is going to happen? Week 12, they're going to sit Ryan Fitzpatrick to make sure his arm's fine for the five division games to end the year? Like, they would never do that early in the year, because then it could come down to losing that game that you rest him in week 12 is the reason that week 18 didn't matter to them. It's so stupid.
Right. Like, last year, as bad as the NFC East was, the Giants went into week 17, potentially only being 7-9 of the season. They ended up being 6-10 to win a division. At any point in the season, had they been like, yeah, we're a 6-10 team, we should rest Daniel Jones or we should rest Saquon Barkley. Obviously, there were injuries but to both of them. But if at any point they're like, they're healthy, but they should just rest, they would have potentially punted on a 7-9 season being a playoff season by doing that. So you can't really ever afford to do it, let alone do it when you're kind of a fringe playoff team and you're floating around 500 or so.
Exactly.
Standing by with our headline this morning is a kind Sir Andrew Bogish. What's up, Bogues?
DA, good morning again. The Sacramento Kings out of playoff contention officially after last night's 116-110 loss in Memphis. That is 15 consecutive seasons without the playoffs, matching the longest drought in NBA history. Their loss gives the Spurs the final spot in the West play-in, despite San Antonio losing at the Knicks 102-98. So that's the bottom of the West playoff picture. At the top, the Jazz lead the Suns down to just one game for number one, with Phoenix surviving Portland 118-117. The winning points, Devin Booker free throws with 2 seconds left. The Blazers, meanwhile, with that loss, drop all the way down to number six. They're a half game behind the Mavs, a half game ahead of the Lakers. Giannis with 40 and the Bucks 142-133 win in Indy. The Hawks down the Magic 106-94 and the Heat took care of the Sixers 106-94. Reggie Miller worked that game with Marv Albert because Chris Webber has reportedly left TNT on the eve of the postseason. The New York Post says the split was mutual. As I mentioned last hour, the Mariners flirted with being no hit for a second consecutive home game.
Line drive, base hit center field.
Looked like it went right off the top of the glove of Rosario. Seven innings. no-hit baseball.
That's from Bally Sports Great Lakes, J.P. Crawford's single leading off the eighth, just clearing the glove of a jumping Cleveland shortstop, Ahmed Rosario, preventing Zach Plesac from history. He and Cleveland hung on for a 4-2 win. The Red Sox dumped the A's 8-1, and the Rays handled the Yankees 9-1, Boston and Tampa Bay avoiding three-game sweeps. The Giants a 3-1 win in Pittsburgh, the Rockies outscored the Reds 13-8, and Miami a 5-1 win in Arizona. Gee whiz, former first-round pick Kelvin Benjamin expected to work out for the Giants at their rookie minicamp this weekend. Benjamin hasn't played since 2018. David Gettleman drafted him in Carolina in the first round back in 2014. The Colorado Avalanche win for the second time in as many nights in L.A. to steal number one overall from the Vegas Golden Knights. The Avs getting home ice throughout the playoffs and the President's Trophy with a 5-1 win. And Jordan Spieth and J.P. Spawn share the lead at the Byron Nelson with a 9-under-63 yesterday. Spieth got there with a 55-foot eagle putt.
Spieth is tied
on
with who?
18. J.P. Spawn.
Is that a real person?
Yeah, apparently he plays professional golf.
J.P. Spawn?
Play it to Warren.
Sounds like a villain in a superhero movie.
J.P. Swan? Or
no,
Spawn?
No, Spawn. Yeah, S-P-A-U-N, I believe.
Oh, S-P-A-U-N?
Yes.
Oh, I found him. J.J. Spawn.
Oh, J.J. Spawn. Sorry. For the entire Spawn family.
I'm looking at J.P. Spawn, and I spelled it S-P-A-W-N, like the comic book character. And all I kept getting was Todd McFarlane comics. And I'm like, J.P. Spawn.
And I think Warren Spawn is an H, not a W or a U. So the Spawn name is all over the place.
Ah. Okay. J.J. Spawn. John Michael Spawn. I wonder why it's JJ with his John Michael.
Wow. So he's a fraud. He's lying about the second J.
Unless the J is for Junior.
So this John is a weird Junior, trend maybe. Here. Because J.D. Davis, who plays for the Mets, is J.D. for J. Davis. So he's made the initials of his first and last name are now his like nickname. Yeah, his middle name is not a D. The D is for Davis.
No.
And there's somebody else, because they were doing this on SNY. Maybe it's somebody on the Orioles does the same thing. No. Their initials are not initials. They're first name, last name initials as their now new first name.
I'm not D.A. Amendolara. I'm D.A. That's where the Amendolara is. The A is the Amendolara. You can't be J.D. Davis. What's his first name? Jason?
I'd have to look up the actual specifics of
it. Let's just say that J.D. Davis' name is Jason. You can't be Jason Davis Davis.
Why not?
Have fun
His name is Jonathan Gregory Davis. J.D. is for Jonathan Davis.
No! You're J.G. Davis. Just like you're J.J. Spawn, not J.P. Spawn.
Which, by the way... That gets lost in so like bogus show attention to detail. If we didn't take the time to call
That's
him out,
mess.
We would have thought our whole lives he was J.P. Spawn because we trust bogus that much.
Poor guy. He's tied at an event on the PGA Tour going into the weekend.
The first round.
Doesn't even matter enough to get his name right.
Yeah. The guy who wouldn't know Rafael Nadal falling on him is worried about J.J. Spawn's first name.
No, it wasn't Nadal. It was the other one that's really good that he used to play.
Oh, Djokovic?
Djokovic.
Yes, that's right. Novak, right? Yes, that one.
There you go.
Good job.
What do we think the WK is for, by the way, and Andrew?
Who knows?
It's Andrew. Who knows with the hit? Get this party started.
Let's get this party started. Let's get the party started. Well, it's party hard. Party hard.
It's what we do.
Who was he party? And Two Broke Girls?
Yo, which broke girl is he?
Rob tweets, DA, why does your punk rock singing voice sound like Fat Bastard from Austin Powers? Let's get this party started. What we do? Fatty Crackers tweets, I expect bad music takes from DA. But Mraz putting Good Charlotte, Green Day, and Avril Lavigne in the same genre as Andrew W.K. makes me weep.
Always party hard, party hard.
It's D.A. on...
how J.J. Spawn feels. We have upset a lot of people right. this morning with this show.
It should be J.P. Spawn. Anyway, time now to get stunned and heartbroken and hungry.
Doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So this one is courtesy of the Wizard of Lodge DA, and we already touched on this a while back when there was a ketchup package, a packet shortage.
Yeah.
Now we're dealing with something I think even far more significant. Chick-fil-A is having supply chain issues. It's one of the many issues brought on by the pandemic. Video game consoles, car parts, used cars. There's a lot of industries hurting right now. Maybe number one on this list is Chick-fil-A sauce. Multiple franchises are now rationing the handouts of their delicious sauces because there's just not enough sauce to go around. Now, the good news is Chick-fil-A says it is not feeling the effects of the current chicken shortage, so you can get your food. It's just the dipping sauce that might be an issue the next time you make a Chick-fil-A run. You know, everyone wants their new PS5 or a new car, but this might be the number one thing that we need to fix ASAP here.
Well, so I think people can really be pigs when it comes to sauce and wasteful. I've seen it before. You know, they go into a Chick-fil-A and they grab 5 honey mustards or 6 Polynesians. They use 2 at the table and then they throw out the rest. And that always bothers me. People are just blind to consumption. We are just pigs in America because everything comes to us so easily. So I don't think you need, you know, uncontrollable amounts. I don't think you need just as many as you want. But I think one per entree is not enough. Mraz, I feel like a happy medium would be that Chick-fil-A should offer 2 sauces per entree, and that would be appropriate. I don't think one is enough here.
One is definitely not enough, DA. I think you need to lean 3 because here's the problem. They've made their waffle fries so delicious when you dip them in the sauce as well. So if you got a 10-piece nugget, you need a sauce per every 5. And then I need a sauce for my fries, too. At that point, I'm not committed to the taste of the Chick-fil-A sauce, the Polynesian sauce. The ketchup's not going to work for me there. But here would be my double bigger issue. Chick-fil-A took a lot of bows 2 years ago when they started making bigger bottles of their sauces that you could go in there and buy. Stop doing that. If there's a shortage, pull it out of those big bottles and get me back to my dipping packets. Stop selling Christmas gifts where everybody buys the big sauce bottles then. Don't take vows for it, because that's got to be contributing to the shortage.
I'd also like to know, see, here's the thing about the ketchup. Wasn't it just that Heinz was a shortage, but you could get plenty of Hunt's and Fancy American and all that?
It was literally the packets. You could go to the store and get it fine, but for reason, the packets were the issue for takeout. All the takeout supplies had been down because because all you could do was takeout.
So how do we not have enough supplies to make more Polynesian sauce? Like, isn't it just like goopy xanthan gum and stuff like that? I mean, what are we low on? Think about what dipping sauces are made out of. It's sugar.
Or don't.
Water, gum, some type of chemical to make it sticky and icky. I mean, coloring. What is in Chick-fil-A dipping sauces that we're short on these days?
So I could be completely wrong, but when I first heard this story, because naturally this is something that would pop up on my BuzzFeed, I thought that this had more to do with the current gas pipeline shortage around where Chick-fil-A's headquarters is, and that's where they were getting all their sauces and distributing them out, so distribution was going to be a problem, because if you go anywhere else, you can get your fresh chicken from anywhere, but it's really about their sauce distribution from their plant, which would have been affected by the trucking industry around the gas shortage. If I'm completely wrong,
maybe I'm not. That I actually buy. That I buy, because it can't be hard to make these sauces. But in terms of they're already made and it's hard to ship them out because of the gas line, the pipeline breakdown, that actually would make more sense.
That's what I thought I read. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But that's why it's not about making it. It's about getting them out.
either way, you don't need to just grab 10 packets and totally be a hog.
I do.
Target has had to pause sales of sports cards and Pokemon cards because it's too aggressive. That when Target has them, they've had to move the cards now back to the electronics section so that they're behind a case so that people don't go crazy and hoard them. They also have had to limit how many pieces per customer that you could buy. And now it's down to one item per family that you can buy. Of course, because we here in America hoard everything. The same thing as the Chick-fil-A sauce thing. People hoard everything. We're all Schwartzes. It's like, oh, I need this. I need that. I need this. I can't live without it. It's why we had no toilet paper a year ago. I'll never be able to live without it. Oh, head explode. So now you can't just go to Target and buy a pack of Pokemon cards for your kid. You can't just go to Target and buy a couple of packs of Topps baseball cards for your kid. No, it's I'm going to wait in line for 4 hours when it opens, fight everybody, get 5 boxes, cases, store them. I need to get rich on this. Blah, 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 blah. This is why they had to pause all sales. Now, I hate to be the back in my day guy, but one of the reasons that I love sports is because when I'm 10 years old, I can ride my bike down to the deli and spend $1 for 2 packs of Tops, or if I really wanted to go big, $1.25 on 1 pack of Upper Deck, and there was always a pack of cards for me to buy without having to fend off a bunch of 50-year-old dudes trying to hoard them all so they could get rich down the road. I didn't have to go to that deli and make sure I stood in line for 4 hours when it opened to make sure I got my pack of cards to go see if I could get a Daryl Strawberry in it. I mean, give me a break with this. Bogues, you have some insight on how this is happening, why this is happening? Because I'm bent.
Well, this is a big Pokemon house over here, and the Pokemon cards have been on the list of things that have been disrupted again by this supply chain. So we're adding this to Chick-fil-A sauce and catch more other things. I don't know if this is like factory slowdowns or where this issue arises, but Pokemon cards are just hard to get to. People suck in general. I mean, that's the long story short here. And with all this free time, people have like revamped all of these new hobbies and or old hobbies. And I was just discussing this the other day with a friend whose son also loves Pokemon. The big thing now is like adults driving around yard sales, garage sales, and just like buying your box of Pokemon cards for $20, hoping that somewhere in there, for whatever reason, there's a $500 card or a $1,000 card buried in there. It's worth the gamble. I've already talked to my son about, because he doesn't know the real value, like the actual dollar value. He knows that some cards are better than others. But like I've had to tell him, like, don't trade cards, because there are definitely, and like the school says no, because kids were trading cards that they didn't know the value of, and then their parents are getting upset.
The school says
that
you're not allowed to trade Pokemon cards anymore.
You cannot display your Pokemon cards, I think, in the school building during the school day. Before school, after school, in the yard, that's fine. But like kids were getting, even on purpose or like accidentally, swindled by like trading away really valuable cards to a person who knew what they were getting, and the kid didn't know what they were giving up. So there's so much Pokemon drama, but there should never be violence inside a Target over them.
This is so sad. These are collections for kids. These are hobbies for children to enjoy Pokemon, to trade with their friends, to enjoy baseball cards, basketball cards, football cards, what have you. When they become corrupted by adults because they're trying to get rich, it is so sad. And I'll never forget this very eye-opening end-of-youth moment for me. I collected baseball cards since I was maybe 5 or 6 years old. I remember my first pack of cards, maybe the 85 Topps baseball or something like that, 86 NFL. I remember specifically in 87, the 87 football cards we would go to what was kind of a discount store, and my dad would buy me like a rack pack of those. And I remember I collected right through high school. Maybe I was 14 or 15 and maybe 16 years old. My buddy and I had driven to a place, a card show actually, and there was a line of 5 card shop owners who were tearing open boxes of Stadium Club looking for a Troy Gloss rookie. and they would just sift through them and then toss the cards aside, rip through the next pack, toss the cards aside. And it was like a assembly line of tearing through packs to find one card. And I looked at it and I said, that's everything that I hate about this, that you're not collecting because of the love of the game. You're just looking for a Troy Gloss rookie card, and you're going to rip through 10 boxes in 10 minutes just to find it. And I was like, ew, I'm out. And I stopped collecting. That was it. It was just the end of it. Now, I still have my cards. I like looking through them every couple of years. But when it gets to that, it's so disheartening. And the fact that Target can't sell baseball cards right now is because adults. Because adults have ruined it. It's not because of kids. It's because adults have corrupted this thing. It's so pathetic. Oh, it's so pathetic. On the phones at 855-212-4CBS, you can hit me up at 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Rich is in San Francisco this morning here on the DA show. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, DA.
How you doing?
Bored.
You're bored?
Yeah.
By the show?
No. You're quite interesting. You're over there in the East Coast, right?
Yeah. We're based in New York.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember my call, but I called when the Super Bowl Niners were playing.
Well, we took a lot of phone calls right around that time. What specifically did you call about back then?
I was the caller of the show. No one's like, you failed because you don't believe or something. I think somebody did a... Do you remember?
I don't specifically remember that, but... So we made you the epic fail with that call?
Yes. Yes, you did.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
How's your morning going? Sounds like you're struggling this morning.
Well, it's foggy as heck. It's dark. The thing about San Francisco is got too much fog, not enough sunlight.
Too much fog, so you're kind of in a fog.
Yeah, actually.
It's early, though, where you are. It's about 5 a.m., so was it a late night or an early morning?
I kind of drank coffee at night, so it just affected me.
Oh, you drank coffee last night?
Yeah.
So did you get any sleep whatsoever?
No, not yet.
Oh, oof, boy, yeah. So you're still up.
Yeah.
Man.
I wanted to thank you for that opportunity that you talked to me long enough when I made that call. I rarely call sports radios.
No problem, man. No, thanks for making the phone call. My pleasure.
And can you explain to me why do you use you're the mothership?
Oh yeah, well, I'm a huge Parliament Funkadelic fan, and one of the coolest things I always thought was that Parliament, the greatest funk band of all time, used to land a spaceship on their stage and invite everybody aboard, and they used to kind of make it like, this is the party, baby, you got to come inside the spaceship. And I thought that was such a cool metaphor for inviting everybody into your party. And if you did it hurtling through outer space, even cooler. So I wanted to make this show feel like you're invited to a party and that everybody's invited. And so that's why we call it the Mothership.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so you got to listen to a little Parliament to maybe wind you down and get a little funky, and then maybe you can fall asleep.
Right. Yeah. Before, I don't want to take too much of your time.
No, go ahead.
What do you think about the Bay out here? With the Raiders and actually they're gone now, but we got A's and the Niners, Warriors. What do you think about the Bay?
Well, sports-wise, Niners should be really good again because they were so banged up, so injury-prone last year that I think that they should be right back to be the contender, and I'm fascinated by Trey Lance. I really, really like him. From a basketball standpoint, the Warriors are weird because as great as Steph has been, they've lost to some bad teams and looked really bad. So I'm a little hesitant on saying, this is a fun story from the Warriors, because They played some really underwhelming bad basketball this season. From a baseball standpoint, the Giants look great so far. I'm bummed about the A's, though. I hate the reports that they might still not be able to get a stadium done. A's fans are great. They've had a garbage building for a really long time, and they don't deserve to keep getting, you know, dragged through the mud on will they or won't they stay. So that's a bummer. I'm hoping that the A's figure this thing out with the city, because they really, if you lose the Raiders and the Warriors and the A's in a couple of years' time, that's just devastating for Oakland.
Do you think San Francisco should help financially build that that thing by the water, the estuary, the Oakland?
You mean for the A's ballpark?
Right, right.
I don't think you can ask San Francisco to do something for Oakland. I mean, this has to be an Oakland thing, because San Francisco has its own baseball stadium, has its own ballpark. But I do think that in terms of the state getting involved, Major League Baseball getting involved, the league itself finding a way to make this happen, I just think it has to happen. I don't think you can afford for three different teams to leave Oakland in the span of like 3 years. It just would be too much.
Oh, right, right, of course. You know what's happening out here to Governor Newsom, right?
Well, what's the details on that?
Well, Newsom, who's was previous San Francisco mayor, now he's the governor.
Right.
Well, he's being recalled. Would be a recall election by Republicans. Or anybody else. He's just being recalled. And
well, this A's ballpark thing, though, has been going on forever. And, man, I appreciate the phone calls always, bud. You be well. Hope that you get some Z's here, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. You got it. My pleasure. But the A's ballpark thing has been going on forever. I mean, think about how long this has been going on. The Raiders moved back from L.A. to Oakland in 95, 96. I think 95 was their final season in L.A., 96, they put that cavernous, ridiculous upper deck on that ballpark, which for baseball immediately rendered it terrible. So since 1996, the A's have been playing in a football stadium. That's 25 years now? They need a new ballpark? 25 years? I mean, come on. 25 years. They got to get baseball-specific stadium done, and the league and the A's, they need to rally the support of local companies and private money and get people on board from the local governments and the state governments, whatever it's going to take, because it's not right for Oakland to have lost the Warriors to San Francisco, the Raiders to Las Vegas, and now be worried about losing the A's as well. And let me tell you, that phone call is a good throwback.
It's a Friday fiesta. Here's what our listeners in the Target demo are up to.
Kyle, who tweets, DA, yet again, I'm in Lake Havasu City, Arizona, aboard the mothership in my usual seat off to the side of the back where that weed smell originated. Mraz didn't sabotage poor Sammy boy. Mraz is nowhere near smart enough for that. Hashtag every place should be for babies. Target demo Friday.
I think every place on earth should be for babies. Top to bottom, but it's not my fault.
Jeffrey, yo, DA, listening to the show on the Odyssey app from Philly. Despite being old and cynical, I'm naive enough to believe Mraz would not sabotage poor Sam. Hashtag get me stroganoff.
I stand with Sam. Brian. I stand with Sam.
Brian tweets, I'm listening on the Odyssey app from North Carolina. I am positive Mraz is not smart enough to sabotage anyone. He was much more worried about how much food he would be eating on his birthday. Hashtag, I stand with Sam.
I stand with Sam.
Daryl is listening on the Odyssey app in Southeast Kansas, getting ready to work on construction equipment all weekend in the rain and cheer on the Vegas Golden Knights on Sunday as we start dancing for Lord Stanley. Hashtag Target Demo.
French onion dip with bacon.
All the bite. Kevin tweets, I'm listening on the Odyssey app also in Dresden, Ohio. Got family driving in today from out of state. Looking forward to grilling up some wings, playing a little cornhole, having a few too many tasty cold snacks. Peace, boys. Bring on summer already.
It is a cornhole tournament fundraiser.
This is stupid.
Matthew, you're adults, and this is ridiculous. It is a cornhole tournament fundraiser. Cut the crap.
Mac and Bear tweets, good morning, DA and crew. Listening on Sirius XM 206 on the road. For the guy that wanted to blow up your bathroom, you should have told him to go in the woods. Have a great day in the weekend. Ho, 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 sports giant.
Ho, 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 sports giant.
Smitty tweets, what up, DA? Sitting in the parking lot at work. Listening on, let's see, KTIK Sports Radio in Boise. Hoping you're going to make it back here for Boise State, Oklahoma State. Missed you the first time, won't miss you the second time. Hashtag beam me up. If they'll have us, we're coming. Mikey tweets, listing on Sports Radio 650 here in the H. Slanging packages off the brown truck on the U of H campus. Cold ones already on ice. Hashtag little wet, little drippy.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
Greasy is living it up in Nashville, listening on the Odyssey app. Mraz would try to pull something like this off, but we're giving him too much credit if he actually did. We would know his attempt by the colossal failure it would be. Target Demo Friday.
All the voices in your head.
This is from JDD, listening to the CBS Sports Radio affiliate in Erie, PA, on the school drop-off line, and Mraz definitely sabotaged Sam. Target Demo Friday.
Pardon me?
Eric is in Central California, listening and watching the post-Twitch stream. I don't think Mraz would leave Sam out in the dumps, but he has stated if he's going down, he's taking loved ones with him. Target Demo Friday.
Are you doing theater tonight?
Theater tonight? Carla tweets, I'm on my way to school to give state testing. Fun day, right? Looking forward to some relaxation this weekend. Listening on KTIK 93.1 in Idaho. Hashtag Target Demo Friday.
Sean, this is Joe from LA Fitness.
Rob tweets, I'm listening in Cocoa Beach. I might pull a Pete the Body Bilotti and have a WrestleMania binge watch. Wife is in New York. Kids are at grandma and grandpa's house. Woohoo! Target Demo Friday.
Girlfriend!
Girlfriend! Tom tweets, I'm in New Hampshire listening on the Sirius XM app. I always start the show an hour late so I can fast forward through all the commercials. Hashtag beam me up! Knockout Neil is listening on Spotify at work in Bedford Hills. Finally able to not have to sleep on the couch after making my fiance tacos for her birthday, Valentine's, and Mother's Day. She asked why, and I replied, if you're not making tacos, I don't love you no more.
As long as you're making tacos, I love you. As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
Lonnie's on Facebook. Happy Friday. At work in Arizona, listening on the Odyssey app, getting ready to bake a 6-foot giant sub. I 100% think Mraz could sabotage Sam. Maybe not consciously, but have an awesome weekend anyway. Hashtag mothership. Hashtag girlfriend. Hashtag best show ever.
Girlfriend.
Mikey on Facebook is on 1560 on Florida Space Coast. Mraz couldn't sabotage Cool Whip with shaving cream. Shout out to the Cape Canaveral T-ball team who won't have me squealing like a pig. Hashtag beam me up. And Rob tweets, also on Facebook, actually. Listing in Ontario on the Sirius XM app, starting my week's vacation. Mraz sabotaging Sam. It's just the beginning with Canadian bacon coming. The Green Party, watch your back. Hashtag beam me up, DA.
I stand with Sam. I stand with Sam.
It's Friday.
Pork butt. Friday. As Mraz notes, we don't say the sports giant all week long. Ho, 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 sports giant. And yet it comes up in Target Demo Friday and makes us all laugh every single time.
Ho, 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 sports giant.
Mraz, why is that Ryan always so funny? Oh, wait a second. Do that one again.
Ho, ho, ho.
Brian Gunterkunz.
Billy and RVA tweets, by the way, DA, Mraz only booked one guest yesterday, and that was himself, and included a GIF of the Beastie Boys Sabotage video. That is the work of a saboteur. Mraz booked one guest yesterday, himself.
Mraz Arena, hey!
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
Sports Giant.
Sports Giant speaks. What's our fail this morning, guys?
Rich in San Francisco, turn two
of
for
course.
A second fail.
Here we go, Rich, let's do it.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Rich is in San Francisco this morning here on the DA show. Good morning, Rich.
Hello. Bored.
You're bored?
Yeah.
By the show?
No. You're quite interesting. You're over there in the East Coast, right?
Yeah, we're based in New York.
You're right.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember my call, but I called when the Super Bowl Niners were playing. I was the caller of the show. No one's like, you failed because you don't believe or something. I think somebody did a... Do you remember?
What?
I don't specifically remember that, but... So we made you the epic fail with that call?
Yes, you did.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
How's your morning going? Sounds like you're struggling this morning.
Well, yeah, it's foggy as heck. It's dark. The thing about San Francisco is got too much fog, not enough sunlight.
And I'm going to be a crotchety old you-know-what if I last another 40 years.
Too much fog, so you're kind of in a fog.
Yeah, actually.
It's early, though, where you are. It's about 5 a.m., so was it a late night or an early morning?
I kind of drank coffee at night, so it just affected me.
Oh, you drank coffee last night?
Yeah.
Did you get any sleep whatsoever?
No, not yet.
How you doing? You're ticklish today? Ooh, how you doing?
Oh, boy, so you're still up.
Yeah.
You know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
And can you explain to me why do you use you're the mothership?
Oh yeah.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Oh, man, what a day it's been on the phones. Yesterday we took one phone call, and it was from a guy, Raphael in Vermont, who had the show on the radio, didn't turn the radio down. We listened to 20 seconds of me talking to me through his car radio. And then when I finally said on the radio to him, Raphael's in Vermont, he still didn't pick up and we heard nothing but static. And then today we took one phone call and it was Rich in San Francisco who led off with, "I'm bored." These were our two calls the last 2 days. You know what? Pete's right.
Too much fog, not enough sunlight.
What a week it was. On Monday, we will have most of the NBA playoff schedule set, besides the play-in winners and the play-in game. So we'll do a lot of that on Monday morning. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti, Wales of Steel at Audio Director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. And thanks to Andrew Kaplan, your Wizard of Watch DA. Be good and be good to one another. We will see you on Monday morning. The mothership disconnects.
Yeah.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.